Welcome to the Lakeside Baptist Church podcast. We pray you are blessed as you hear the word of God today. For more information regarding Lakeside Baptist Church, please visit lakeside.asn.au.
Father, we thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for the privilege of being here together with people that we love. Lord, we thank you for the worship. We thank you for your word and the opportunity to interact with it. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that as we look at your word and the truth there, Lord, that it would impact our lives. And Lord, we would leave here differently and encouraged and inspired as we walk out these doors. So we thank you so much. We lift this time up to you. In your name we pray. Amen. So this, a couple weeks ago, when our last, what do we call it, fire by the fireside or in the living room, our last online as Anthony was sharing, he was sharing his story, and this verse, this parable popped into my mind. So I'm super excited to share it with you this morning. I was sharing with my family last night. If you're half excited to hear it as I am to share it, then we'll have a great time this morning. But I'm going to break down a parable, and this is one of the things I hope we get out of this morning, that from this point on, every time that you hear a parable, this will jump in. Anthony inspired me. I got some props up here this morning. So I was reading a book by Mark Wiersbe, and he said that every good parable has three attributes or three parts of it. He said a good parable starts as a picture. You can begin to see the picture. The actual definition of parable means to cast alongside or lay alongside. So a parable is when you take a universal or spiritual truth and you lay it alongside a familiar or a common story that you can relate to. Three aspects of a great parable. Starts out as a picture. And then he said that this is really interesting, and Jesus taught primarily through principles or through parables, is you now move to a mirror. Once you see the picture of the parable, it becomes a mirror. I love this mirror. Makes me look skinnier at least. But as you look at a parable, you move into the window. Into the mirror phase of this. And as you look into the mirror, you begin to identify or to put yourself into that familiar story and identify with the people or the characters in the parable. And this is what he said becomes the crossroad. Everybody, if they hear the parable and are listening, looks in the mirror. But this is a crossroad or the critical junction of most parables, because at this point, people go one way or the other. Oftentimes, we don't like what we see in this parable. Even as I share this one today, there'll be some things that I didn't really like when I looked at it. And in Jesus' time, when he would share a parable, oftentimes people would get up and leave. I don't know if they were sitting down, but they would get up and leave. May want to lock the door so nobody does that this morning. But they would actually, when they would look at themselves, they would actually turn and walk away. Sometimes in his parables, they were so frustrated with what they saw that they actually wanted to kill him. So his parables had a lot of deep meaning in them. So that's a crossroad. Here's what's exciting. Those that hear the parables and look in the mirror and take the other path, it actually becomes a window. A window that you can look through and see God's character, his truth, his transformational power, and it can actually change your lives as you see that. Does that make sense? So you have a picture, a mirror, and a window. My hope this morning, as you hear this principle, that as you hear this parable, one of my favorite parables in the Bible, that you will do all three. And then I got excited about Nehemiah coming up, that even as we hear God's word, that you'll see that as a mirror, you'll let it reflect to you, and then look to a mirror to see him as you grow. So the parable we're going to be looking at this morning is probably familiar to a lot of you. It's a parable of beautiful. This is one of the things that jumped out a couple weeks ago when Anthony was sharing. I want to read this verse one more time when it reflects on looking in the mirror here. James 1, 23 through 25. Listen to these words. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Some look in the mirror and go one way. Some look in the mirror into the window and go forward. So the parable we're going to look at is the parable of the sower. Some refer to it as the parable of the soils. It's one that's very familiar. Some of you would have heard this 50 to 100 times. Some of you may be the very first time. But this has been one of my favorite parables since I was a young believer. I think I shared this with you last time, but about 15 years ago, had an opportunity to travel to Israel and do a tour of the Holy Land. And we actually got to go to Galilee, where Jesus was raised and where he grew up. And in Galilee, it's a modern city now, fairly small, but a modern city. They have this really small kind of tourist setup called the Village of Galilee. It's on the outskirts of the modern city. And in it, they have it set up just like it would have been or as much as they can 2,000 years ago. So when you first walk in, there's a house, a home of what it would look like to live in that period. They have a synagogue or the church that Jesus would have, similar to the one that Jesus would have went to. It's about, I don't know, 4 or 5 acres. It takes about 3 hours to weave your way through it. And they have all these things that take you back like you were right there. So they had a well that you'd bring up water, and they shared the story of the woman at the well when they were there. Just different things. But I'll never forget this. We were walking along, and there's this path that kind of weaves through the village. And this guy that was leading it stops. And when he stops, they had like it set up, the whole thing set up like it was as much as they could back in the day. And when they would have all agriculture or do a garden, most of the time it wasn't big like we do where we provide for millions of people. It was actually pretty small. And so a lot of their plots were about the size, maybe even half the size of the stage. So if you can picture, we're walking along. You've really inspired me with these props, mate. I'm going to another level here. He stops and he just starts throwing the seed out. Beautiful. Got a little work to do on the cleanup. My daughter's volunteered to pick that up afterwards. But he just starts throwing this seed out in this parable. And as he was going, you can see a picture of it right here. The parable of the field or of the soil. And you can see the path right here that we're going to talk about. You can see the soil. You can see some of the rocky ground and some of the weeds. And they were saying that when Jesus actually taught these parables, and when I read God's word, I love to, as much as possible, immerse myself in it and be like I was there. So Jesus would actually teach these parables as he was walking. So hope as we go this morning, you get a picture of what that looks like. We're going to jump right in. One of the beautiful things with this parable is that it almost teaches itself, that in Jesus's parables, he doesn't always explain them, but this one he does. So it's pretty sweet. All right. Here is the first part of the parable. He splits into two parts. The first one, he lays the parable out, the picture alongside a very common thing with gardening or planting, and then he explains it. Read along with me if you would. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he had said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. We'll pick up that more in a minute. All right, so here's a picture of the four soils before we look at Jesus's explanation. On the far left, we have a very ominous looking bird coming to pick up the seeds that were on the path. And again, if you could picture that first picture, there would be a path you just walk alongside, and they would have their garden right next to it. And as the farmer threw the seed out, some would fall on the path. Second one is the rocky soil. This is really interesting. The rocky soil doesn't allow, I don't know if you can see on the top there, but there's the root, or actually part of the root, is up on top of the ground. Rocky soil doesn't allow the root to go down. And a healthy plant, the roots goes first, the root system, and then it grows above the ground. But in the rocky soil, the root wouldn't be able to go down. And it says, when you're going to look at it, when the sun would come, it would wither because it didn't have a root. The third one, you can see that it's starting to grow a little bit more, is a seed that fell among the thorns or the weeds. And it says it was choked out. You can see, I love this picture. The roots are starting to go down, but so are the weeds and the thorns around it. It's being choked above and below the surface. The fourth soil, the one we'll spend most of our time on, is a good soil. And this one, you can see a beautiful tree. And I don't know if you can see from where you are, but can you see the fruit on there? And here's the thing of the parable. One of the things, as you look in the mirror, that God says that a mature plant, a mature believer, has fruit. They bear fruit. And the other ones don't. You must be mature to be able to bear fruit. So he shares that first part, and the disciples, this is a kind of the interlude before he explains it. The disciples ask him if they'll explain it. Let's take a look here. I love this out of the Message translation. You remember when he said, he who has an ear, let him hear? This is their definition of it. Are you listening to this? Are you really listening? His disciples asked him, why do you tell this story? And he said, you've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. There are others who need stories. That would be me. I need stories and sometimes pictures to understand what's going on. Others need stories. But even with stories, some of them aren't going to get it. So he's understanding, that's why he's sharing in parables. And this is beautiful. He actually, this last little bit, he's actually referencing back to Isaiah chapter 6. And he says, their eyes are open, but they don't see a thing. Their ears are open, but they don't hear a thing. Their eyes are open, but they don't hear a thing. Their ears are open, but they don't hear a thing. And I don't know about you, but that can definitely be me. There's times, just driving the other day, driving to Lakeside, I was driving along, my eyes were wide open, but my mind was someplace else. And thankfully, I had my helper in the car that saw there was a car stopped up ahead of me. And so we averted an accident. But sometimes our eyes are open, but we don't see. Sometimes our ears are open, but we don't hear. So as we look at this parable and others as we go forward, just pray that your eyes would be open to hear and see the truth that God has for us. So then he goes right into explaining it. I'm going to read this, and then we're going to break them down, each one individually. So you can read along with me. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Verse 14. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Four soils. We're going to look at each one of them individually. The first one, I'm going to read it again and just interact with it short, quickly. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved. Now, I don't know if you can relate. Here's the interesting thing with the four soils. I can relate to all four. And if the truth be told, probably on a daily basis, I go in and out of all four of those soils. My hope, my prayer, one of the things that was so beneficial for me as I was preparing this is that I want a chance to check my soil continuously throughout the day. And I hope that happens for you. When I heard this, two thoughts came to mind. One, for the first 20-some years of my life, my heart was hard. It was like that path. I had a mom who came to Christ. My mom loved Jesus, came to Christ, took me to church. And I had plenty of seeds scattered in my life. Plenty of seeds of the gospel planted. And not one of them would hit. And I look at it, it's because of my heart was hard. And there were several reasons, and we'll talk about these a little bit more at the end. But one of the big ones was pride and my desire to live life my own way. And I think I shared this with you a couple months ago. That my mom would say, David, God loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to know you. He wants you to know him. And I would just say, God, I want to do it my own way. I don't want you to do that. And my heart was hard. And so for 20 years, even though the seed was planted, the seed was thrown, it was sown, my heart was hard, and I just didn't receive that. I don't know if you can relate to that today. Secondly, and this is after I became a Christian, I went through a time about 8-10 years ago, a really difficult time. I had the job that I worked at was connected with the church that I went to, and went through a really difficult time. And in the process of that, I didn't feel like things were handled correctly. And I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you've been hurt by a church or hurt by other believers, but it really hit me. And it took, about 4 years. We moved on from that place, moved on to a different job and a different church. And I continued to go to church on a Sunday, and I would sit in the seat, and I would listen, but my ears weren't open. I would look, but my eyes would not see. And because my heart was hard. And there was some bitterness and some unforgiveness that for almost 4 years kept me from really growing and seeing that. So I hope as we go through this a little bit today that you'll have a chance to look at that. Here's what we're going to do. Each one of these soils, I'm going to give you just a quick opportunity to selah. Got a nice picture of this guy looking in the mirror. Thought that looked like your guns, Anthony, so I thought I'd add that up there. If you can see the word there on the end, this is actually what we named our youngest daughter, but selah. So the word selah is used in the Bible about 74 times. 71 of them are in the book of Psalms, and it's this. It says to take a pause, to think about, to reflect on. So I want you to take right now about 30 seconds and just to reflect on that hard soil. A couple things. Has there been a time in your life when your heart has been hard? Has there been a time when circumstances, when different things have kept your heart hard and not being able to have that soil? So I'll give you about 30 seconds right where you are. Good. Hopefully the Lord brought something to your mind. We're going to do that with each one of these. And at the end, we're going to have a little bit of ability to put it into action. The second soil. First was the hard path. Second soil. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it. But they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Let me read that one more time. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it. But they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. So these ones on the rocky soil, and I don't know about your experience on your faith journey, but when I was coming up through high school and college, and even now, there's times that I would go away on a weekend retreat or a youth retreat, and we'd have a fantastic speaker, and the stories were great, and I would start to get excited. There'd be some enthusiasm, some joy about what it would look like for me to follow Christ and for my life to receive that seed. It was so interesting. On Saturday night, Friday, Saturday, I was so excited I was with them. And then I came back to school on Monday and went back to life, and it just was gone. There was just no root in it. I don't know if you've experienced that or not. I'm going to give you another opportunity really quickly just to selah, to pause, think, reflect on any time that you felt that enthusiasm that God started to stir your heart, but the root didn't go down because of the rocks, the rocky soil. You weren't able to go deeper. Go ahead and selah. Think about 30 seconds. See if God will bring anything to mind on that. All right, keep those in the back of your mind as we look at the third soil now, the thorny ground or the weeds. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. So the seed goes in the ground, but it's choked out. I heard a story about 20 years ago from one of my mentors that just has really stuck with me that I think really relates to this. There was this young guy that grew up, and when he was in elementary school, he fell in love with collecting butterflies. And so as he became an adult, it just was like a passion for him. He traveled all over the world and all over the U.S. Collecting these butterflies. And he got to a point, he was in his 50s, and he was just missing one exotic, there was this one exotic butterfly from the desert that he hadn't gotten yet. And so he booked a trip. He lived out of New York in the East, and he booked a trip to Arizona. It'd be like living in Sydney and having to come into WA to look for this exotic butterfly. And so he plans it out a year ahead. He's got 5 days, and the trip finally comes, and it gets there, and he goes out, and for 4.5 days, nothing. He's searching high or low. He's all over the desert. No butterflies. Just before dark on the fifth day, he's there with his binoculars, and out in the distance, he sees this butterfly that he's been looking for. So he climbs down off the rock that he's on, and he starts to go, starts to try to track it down and to get it. And it was it was right before dark. It was a pretty windy evening afternoon. And as he got down and started to go, he thought he heard somebody crying for help, and he stopped. But then the wind was blowing in the trees, and he didn't think much more of it. And he took a few more steps, and he's locked in on this butterfly, and then then he thought he heard something again, this cry for help, and he just kind of put it out of his mind and continued, and he finally got the butterfly, right? So he's so excited. The next morning, he goes back to the hotel that night. Next morning, he gets up, and he's having breakfast. And as he's eating breakfast, one of the waitress that had been taking care of him comes up, and she says, "Were you able to get your butterfly?" And he goes, "Yeah, I finally got it right before dark last night." And she said, "I was just wondering, while you were out there, did you see anybody out there while you were looking?" He said, "No, I didn't see anybody." She said, did you hear anything, you know, where you were? And he goes, "No, why?" And she said, "Last night there was an old prospector that was out there looking. He was looking for some gold, and he fell into a mine shaft, and he actually froze to death during the night and died. And I just wondered if maybe you'd seen him." And he didn't say anything, and as she walked away, he just sat there and just was like, "Is this butterfly, the butterfly that I was chasing, more important than life?" And I look at my life, and so many times I could sit up here and give you a list of 50 butterflies in my life that at different times keep me from really hearing God's word and following him. Because, and the thing is, there's nothing wrong with the butterfly. Most of the things in our lives, there's not anything significantly wrong with that. It's that we pursue it over God's truth. Does that make sense? So I'm going to give you another 30 seconds right now to stop, think about, reflect. And this asks the Lord to show you, is there anything in your life right now that would fit into that thorns or the weeds that would crowd that out? All right, now we are at the good soil, the good part. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, hang on to it, and by persevering produce a crop. Let me read that one more time. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it or cling to it, and by persevering through difficult times, produce a crop or produce fruit. There's actually a parallel parable, if you will. The Gospel of Matthew records the same parable, and I really like how he finishes the end of it. He says, "And persevering produce a crop 160 or 30-fold. He actually gets levels. I don't know if you're someone that gets into levels, but not only do I want to have good soil, I would like to be one that produces 100%. Some 100, some 60, and some 30. And I shared earlier with the path that from 20-some years of my life, my heart was hard to receiving that. About 25 years ago, through Athletes in Action, it was a friend of mine that shared with me again that God loved me and had a plan for me. And I remember that night going home, and for some reason, I don't know all that was going on, but my heart was right. The soil was right. And I think I shared this last time, but at 3:00 in the morning, I got out of bed all by myself, got out of bed, got on my knees, and cried out to God. And my soil was right. And when our soil is right, the God of the universe can radically change our lives. And most of you have experienced that somewhere along the way. So he says that we can have that good soil and that good crop. I want to move into a little bit of time of reflection here. I sat down, I just kind of brainstormed some things that would stop us, that maybe would stop us from having that good soil. So I just made a list. Go ahead and take a minute, kind of read through that. Maybe there's something, another thing that you would put on your list there. Worry, bitterness, unforgiveness, fear, pride, greed, image, worrying about being cool, what people think about you, unbelief, living in guilt or condemnation, putting yourself down, shame, insecurity, being closed-minded, stubborn, having a temporary perspective. Was so good last week, Anthony shared on having an eternal perspective, but living in just in the moment, being distracted, peer pressure, victim mentality, that woe is me, everything's against me, different things that can affect our soil. Here's the other side of that. I think things that that really help with our soil. Interesting, as you look at this story, there's two constants. The seed, which is the word of God, is constant, and the sower is constant. The variable is our soil. And it's so interesting when you look at God's word, that beautiful mystery of that combination, the partnership between what is God's part and what is our part. What does God do? And what is our responsibility? What's God's responsibility? What's ours that's in it? And I think his seed and the sower are constant. Our soil is our responsibility, what we do with it. Take a quick look at this list. Humility, faith, hungry, belief, teachable spirit. Man, I tell you, it's been one of the beautiful things about coaching at Lakeside is the soil of our players. Just got a couple of them here with Jack and Jay being here. We have professional level players that are just hungry to learn and coachable and teachable. Healthy confidence, urgency. Man, when you're urgent to grow, I remember one of the times I was really urgent was when I was about to get married. And I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know that I'm ready to be a husband. And there just was a hunger in me to grow and to learn. Urgency, desire to grow, change, being disciplined, willing to risk, being moldable, having trust, being thirsty, having that eternal perspective, being open-minded to what God has, being focused, attentive, accountable to yourself and to others. Accountable to yourself and others. Like I said, one of the joys has been coaching a team that has that, that's teachable and coachable. And if you've ever coached or taught or led people, you know the joy it is to have someone and to work with someone that has good soil and has those characteristics or those qualities. And one of the been exciting time for me being here is Frank. And some of you guys have met Frank. He actually wasn't able to be here today. He got called into work. But during one of the highlights during the COVID time is that Frank gave me permission to share this, but actually came to Christ. Frank came to know Christ. His soil was right. And I'll never forget, it was in April and it was during COVID, so we had to keep our social distancing. But we were walking, I went for a walk, and we stopped in this park not too far from where we live. And I was able to share this, I call it the coronavirus gospel. Have you guys heard the coronavirus gospel? I'll share it with you really quick, really quick. So there's this thing going on, coronavirus, that it's on the top of our minds. It's really controlling. And the interesting thing is that the coronavirus is still only in a small percentage of people, and even a small percentage of people actually die from the disease. But can you imagine if I told you that there was a disease going around that infected 100% of people, 100% of people had this disease, this virus? And out of those people, 100% of them died. That's the situation they were in with sin. The Bible says this, that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of the perfection of God, and that the wages of that sin is death or separation from him. But here's the beautiful thing. We're all waiting for an antivirus for COVID. But Jesus actually came down from heaven and took our place. He actually, God gave him that disease, the disease of sin, and he died on the cross to pay the penalty and to take the death, to take the separation away from us on the cross. It's already been done. There is an antivirus there. Can you imagine if you or someone that you loved had COVID and you were sitting there, you were dying, and you were sitting there with the antivirus right there. The medicine that would heal you was right there and you wouldn't take it. For the first 25 years of my life, that's what I did. That I had the seed, the antivirus was there for what was going on, and I didn't want it. I did not receive it. I didn't take it. I shared that with Frankie, and I said, what do you think? He goes, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I said, well, what would keep you from giving your life to Christ right now? And he goes, nothing. And I said, well, what do you think? He goes, let's do it. I want to do it right now. So we knelt down in this park, and he said the most beautiful prayer that I've ever heard. Just honestly before God, saying, God, I want to know you. I know that I've done wrong. My soul is, I want you to come into my life and change me from the inside out. And it's been, I mean, unbelievable. It was it's worth coming to Australia just for that moment. But the exciting thing has been to see Frank's soil. Because it just wasn't a one-time thing. It's been continuing. And he and I and Jack meet almost every Friday. We're doing a Bible study, continue to look through the basics of what it means to follow Christ and to be a Christian. And to see the growth and the fruit in his life has been, it's just a blessing. It's an inspiration to me, and I hope that it is to you. So some of you may be sitting here right now or online listening that have never made that decision. Maybe you're like me where the seed has been planted and for years you've just said, for whatever reason, your heart has been hard and you haven't received. I really want to encourage you this morning, right where you are, to open your heart, to make your heart right, to receive what God has done for you, to receive his free gift, his antivirus that's right there, that's free to you. Some of you have made that decision already and you're on the path of journeying towards Christ like I have been for 25 years. And it's crazy how often my soil is not right. And so I want to, those of you that are in that stage of your journey, to really look at what does it look like to make your soil. We're going to end with this time. Now what? This is inspired by Anthony with his Shema, which we'll talk about. But not just to hear, don't just be hearers only, but doing. And so right now I want you to invite, I want to read a couple passages where you invite God to look into your heart. Look at this passage from Psalm 139 with me really quick. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive or wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." What that means is David, the writer of the psalm, is asking God to get a spotlight and to look. It's like looking in the mirror. And I don't know about for you, but that's not always an enjoyable process when we start to look at what's going on in our heart. But in the next few minutes, I'm going to ask that you would do that. If that's where you are and you want the Lord to show you that, that you would actually invite him. Say, "Search me, O God, and know me. See me. See what's there." And the second one is beautiful. The 2 Corinthians 13, it says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test." That word examine is actually like a term from really to dissect, like from biology. I don't know if you remember back to biology when you were in school, but you would go in and you would, it's not just kind of a, just take a quick look and walk away, but it's to dig deep into that. And I would really challenge and encourage you this morning to examine your own hearts. Examine your own soil to see where you are. Is your soil hard? Like the path, is it rocky? Are there thorns there? Are there things that are crowding out and choking out what God wants to do? Or do you have, is your soil good? Are you receptive to that? Selah to Shema. I love that word. Anthony, has become part of our home, the Shema. But remember what Shema means? It means to listen, to understand, and to do. To listen, to understand, and to do. So I'm going to give you a couple things as you're Selah right here, as you're taking time to reflect in the Holy Spirit, you're inviting God to work in your life to do two things. Look at areas where you need to till the soil. Are there areas of your heart? Are there unforgiveness? Are there some bitterness that you need to let go of? Do you need to pick some rocks? Is there some habits that you need to change in your life? Is there a worry that you can let go, an anxiety that you can hand over to God? Or thirdly, are there some weeds that you can pull? There are areas of your life that you need to refocus, to reprioritize some areas in your life. So I'm going to give you just a few minutes right where you are. If you just be still before the Lord, ask him to search you and examine your hearts of what that would look like to Shema, to actually listen, understand, and do.
you, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word. I thank you for your parable, the story of the four types of soil. Lord, I thank you for your grace and your mercy with me for the times that my soil has been hard or rocky, or I've let thorns, weeds grow. Lord, I thank you for the process, even the last couple weeks of working through this parable, this truth, and looking in the mirror. My Lord, I pray for everyone here this morning and those listening in online, Lord, that we would look in the mirror, that we would invite you to search us, to seek us, to show us, to lead us. My Lord, that we would examine our own hearts, and that our hearts would be soft and the ground prepared. We trust you, Lord, that we would shema, that we would be people that don't just hear and look in the mirror and walk away, but that would do. And Lord, that's different in each one of our lives, and I pray that you would instill that in us, that you would lead us, that you would guide us as we go forth this morning, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.